welcome to episode 14 of the Agree, Disagree, and Hear Us So What podcast. I am Jeremy Baird. I'm your host. Today, our topic comes from the general Facebook arena. And recently, I saw a numerous, and by numerous, I mean more than three people, that have posted pictures of store shelves that are void of toilet paper. I actually saw this for myself at my local Costco, where the only toilet paper available was a particular toilet paper made of bamboo. Yes, folks, bamboo. Thank you, 2020. You've become the year where we can't even wipe our ass. So in all things, though, I disagree with hoarding of anything, but especially the toilet paper. And here is the so what part of this. People are afraid, and I think now some of this fear is less centered around the pandemic and the virus and what could happen to you if you got the coronavirus, if you're going to die. I don't think it's people are afraid as much. I think they're afraid of other things. I'll talk about those in a moment, but I just want to be clear. I want to press pause for a second, and I want to say that this pandemic is a real thing. I know people that have had coronavirus. I know people that have died from comorbidities related to the coronavirus. But the reality of this thing is that a lot more people have recovered than have died. You know, no matter the data set you look at, all the data kind of says the same thing. And that while it's not a harmless thing, it's not as much of an unknown. You know, there are some lasting impacts of it, some effects on health that come about. But that's, I think most people, though, are pretty comfortable. You know, nobody's out there trying to get it, but I think most people are it's not so much of a big giant boogeyman anymore. But so what I think though people now are afraid of is the impact on the supply chains and the, you know, the president-elect, Mr. Biden has already stated, you know, suggested that, what the country needs to kind of control the coronavirus is another shutdown of 4 to 6 weeks. We all know what that did to our supply chains. I think that's really what people are afraid of. But toilet paper? You know, a trip to my local Walmart, and it looks like Walmart has not even recovered from the first round of COVID. You know, the stores are just, the shelves in the store are just empty in some areas. You know, there's things in the supply chain that still have not caught up with, you know, with all this, right? There's articles written on this topic, and it's a psychological phenomena that causes people to hoard things. You know, there's a lot of different reasons psychologists use to explain this interesting phenomena of people going and buying things that they don't need. And the first one, and that my information is coming from an article on psychcentral.com, states that when people see other people doing something in a time of stress, that they will mimic that behavior. So you see the pictures on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you think, I should go get some toilet paper. Even if you don't need some, still you think you should buy some because that's what everybody else is doing. And it's kind of that group think of like, you know, I should do the same thing because there's not going to be any. You know, I've also seen this in my own experience as well, because people, especially when they don't know what to do, are going to do what they see everyone else doing. You know, second reason, though, the article gives is people are afraid. And when you're afraid, there's this thing called zero risk bias, right? Which means that we are biased towards having zero risk or zero danger in our lives, right? And so if that risk that you have is not having toilet paper, then buying toilet paper and stockpiling it in your house is the natural response to that fear. And now you've taken away one of the fears and you're getting yourself closer to zero risk. You know, if I'm afraid, I can manage my need for safety and security by buying something that gives me that comfort. You know, people have made jokes about this and they say things like, well, you know, if there's no toilet paper, you can just use a washcloth and some warm water to wash your backside, right? But this isn't about having a clean butt. That's not what this is about. This is about having available something that you feel like you need and that you use frequently. You know, I read a statistic that was like the average person uses something like 100 rolls of toilet paper a year, right? But it's not about a need to have a clean backside. It's about the need to feel safe from something, right? People, toilet paper isn't the only thing that people have stockpiled. People have been started to stockpile ammunition and firearms, you know, dry food, survival things, you name it. People have started to stockpile it. And it's all in line with that idea of giving yourself a sense of safety and security. You know, according to sciencealert.com, there's this correlation between people who saw the virus as a threat and those that hoarded the toilet paper. You know, I would argue that the people that hoarded guns and ammunition were also afraid, but they were afraid of something much different. They weren't afraid of an unknown or a virus, but what they were afraid of is how other people were starting to respond to this, right? With the hoarding and things like that. You know, they've seen other people that previously, I've seen this, where people who previously were not pro-gun are now interested in purchasing guns and ammunition. Joe Rogan actually talked about this on one of his podcasts. I think he was talking to Kevin Hart, the most recent episode with Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's been on the show a few times. But he was talking about how his friends in Los Angeles have contacted him about, hey, how do I get a gun? How do I go about getting a gun? And they're kind of shocked by the laws and the hoops you have to jump through to purchase a gun in Los Angeles. You know, you got to buy a gun. You got to have a storage device. You got to do all these things. There's all these hoops, right? When all they want to do is just purchase a gun and some ammo so they can feel safe from what they feel or they fear is going to be a real threat to them. You know, the fears, I would say that the fears that people have or hold that make them move towards purchasing of firearms are much more serious than just coronavirus. You know, and I'm not sure if the science community has done any research into this, but I'm pretty sure that bullets don't stop coronavirus. You know, what people are afraid of here, though, like I said, is how their fellow humans are going to respond to this. They're afraid that resources are going to be scarce, and those people that are not in possession of resources are going to try to come and take what they have. You know, you could, and couple that with what's been going on in major cities with rioting, you know, the election, you know, still not being 100% fully decided. And people are honestly scared of what is happening around them. You know, and I can say this from my own experience that since this whole thing has kicked off back in March, that there's been more and more weird shit going on. Like this guy about 2-3 months ago, he attacked a woman. He had a knife and he attacked a woman at a grocery store in the middle of the parking lot and slit her throat. I mean, granted, this guy had a mental health history, but I could probably say that things aren't helped out by the fact that, you know, the access to healthcare, immediate access to healthcare and, you know, psychiatric services and things like that have been diminished because, you know, only essential workers could work. There's even a guy a week or two ago here locally that flipped out at a Target store and was swinging a baseball bat around. I don't know what he was flipped out about, what upset him, but they had to evacuate the store because everybody was in danger in there. But to get back on topic, it's natural to fear and be afraid of the unknown. It's also natural to want to try and take control of your situation. By taking control of your situation, you become empowered. It reduces major stress in your life. You know, you know, if you read any of what Dave Grossman, there's an author named Dave Grossman who's written a bunch of, you know, studied killing and the psychological traumas of killing and, you know, preparing your mind for combat and battle. You know, taking control of a situation, he writes, taking control of a situation will help reduce post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay. But the downside of taking control of some of these situations by hoarding items, stockpiling stuff, is the impact of what it can have on other people. You know, food and bottled water, medications, these things are necessary for people to live. And people like the elderly who are on fixed incomes and can't afford to buy a bunch of shit all at once, or people without the strength and health and capacity to go all over town searching for necessary items they need to survive, they're put in an extreme disadvantage. I mean, they're already at a disadvantage because, being old is one of those things that can cause you to die from coronavirus. Being weak or not in good physical health can cause you to die from coronavirus. You know, what can people do? And I would argue that people need to not be afraid in their lives, especially of unknown threats. You know, I'm one person. Me saying that is not going to help anything, I don't think, because CNN, NBC, and the mainstream media have all scared the shit out of people. People are afraid of the virus. They're afraid of their neighbors. They're afraid of everything now. So I don't think that me saying that is going to have any value or impact. But what I could do is that people find facts and hold on to those facts because ignorance breeds fear. You know, there's also a problem because there's not a lot of facts, right? You think about back to the early days of the pandemic when they said, oh, don't bother wearing a mask. That shit's not going to help you. And then they said, oh, only N95 masks will help. And then pretty soon it was, you know, stick a rag on your face and you're good to go. Well, which is it? Is it no good? Is it somewhat, is it this one particular thing that works, or is it anything that will cover my face work? You know, that's why people are so skeptical of this. It's not because they don't want to believe science. It's not because they don't want to believe the experts. It's because the experts don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Or at least that's the way they come off, because they flip-flop every 5 minutes on what is the best practice and what is things to do. And you could say, oh, well, the, you know, this is a fluid situation and it's constantly changing and updated. But that's not the, what they're saying. You know, they told us to stay home for 2 weeks because 2 weeks was going to flatten the curve. Well, then it became 6 weeks. And then pretty soon it became 3 months. And then pretty soon people have been locked in their houses for 8-9 months. Kids still aren't back in school. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Or if they do, it's not, they're not trying to protect people. So as we start into the third wave, what some people are calling the third wave of the coronavirus, we're going to see likely more widespread panic and more widespread fear, more widespread hoarding. And it's going to be caused not because of people's unknown or fear of the coronavirus. It's going to be caused from their fear of the supply chain collapsing. You know, but when, as we start to enter this, I would encourage you though to think about rationally, what fear are you trying to put aside by buying these extra items that maybe you don't necessarily need right now? What need on Maslow's hierarchy of needs are you trying to meet by stockpiling toilet paper, canned foods, ammunition? What is it you're trying to meet here? So tell me, what things about the situation are making you afraid? We can have a dialogue about this. You can interact on Facebook at the Agree, Disagree, and Hear Us a What podcast, or via email at adhswpodcast@gmail.com. Remember to subscribe, leave a positive review on the places where you read, or sorry, not read, but listen to podcasts. I've been Jeremy Baird, and I will see you tomorrow for episode 15 of the Agree, Disagree, and Hear So What podcast.